B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
It's the first time you had a radio virgin.
I will say this. My button was on.
Your button was on?
My button was on. It's all set.
I got to do a better job.
That's honesty, folks. I wasn't going to throw anyone under the bus. I wasn't going to hang my teammate out to dry.
No, you can't.
We got to do better.
All for one, one for all. The radio musketeers.
We got to do a better job of putting the fader in a better position to make plays.
Yeah.
There we go. Welcome in and good morning, everybody. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney. We got Jamie Litt, Sam Wilson on the fine updates for you, ladies and gentlemen. What a nice reaction Monday it was to a fine football game. What a nice reaction it was to a final football game to start off that season, right? That felt good. We had a nice little reaction Monday. And we talked about the Mike Scott situation yesterday. Certainly wasn't what took over the show by any means, as it shouldn't, on a football Monday morning after a victory, where you see DeSean Jackson do what he did. You see Carson Wentz return to that form that we, missed so much from a couple of years ago, right?
I know everybody want to talk skill.
Yeah, what happened?
Let's talk about the big boys up front.
Big sexy.
So here's the deal.
Talk about the big boys up front.
Here's the deal.
Okay.
I was,
after posing nude, bucket naked.
Wait, hold on a minute. I can't say in one sentence, like, Carson Wentz comes back from an injury, and then you're like, oh, yeah. And then the offensive line coming back from being nude.
Yeah.
It's not...
coming back from being nude, bucket naked.
They overcame their nudity.
That's right.
Their own nudity.
Mm-hmm.
To do what they did, and especially in that second half, and really throughout the game. What, one sack?
Was dominated.
Dominated
the game.
And the guy that is... he's not an unsung hero. We sang his hero. I don't know. Bob, how's that work?
He's a sung hero.
You know words. I don't know.
You do know words.
I don't know which way. And furthermore, I don't know how it works, but I'm just saying we were singing his praises yesterday. I guess that's the best way to put it.
I guess.
We were singing his praises. But how about this? We didn't go far enough. You know the man personally. I've interviewed the man.
Uh-huh.
Brandon Brooks. We didn't go deep enough. We didn't go far enough with Brandon Brooks. Pro Football Focus went further.
Yeah, they did.
Farther? Anyway, they went further, and they said he was the best right guard in all of football. All of football in week one.
That's ridiculous.
From 98 months ago, he suffered his Achilles injury.
That's coming up with an Achilles injury.
I really feel like Brandon Brooks came out, injured the Achilles, and I feel like it was...
Damn good.
Maybe 30 minutes later... He was posting videos of himself working out.
Yeah, walking like he walked off the surgical table into his room to recover.
And just started stretching it out or whatever you might do.
Yeah.
He's trying to take care of himself a little bit more, and he comes out there and he just rolled. I will say we all talked about the skills and the cohesion and chemistry of the offensive line. Just like Carson with some of his receivers, it took a little while for them to get on that same page. But start of that second half. Trey, you can attest to this more than anybody. It was like learning those. It was like riding a bike. It was like learning a dance step with a new partner. They were in sync from really the start of that second half on. In terms of pass protection, they had going all game long. But in terms of run, getting that established, and also protecting, adding all that together, it all started in the second half, and they were just blowing people off the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you could just see the confidence in the group. They were creating movement. Everybody was getting up to the second level, taking care of their combination blocks. And the backs were doing a good job of picking the holes. I think that this group just really did a good job. I could see why they tried to come in with Sproles a little bit, you know, where he was more, when you bring Sproles into the game, it's more of a little slasher, someone that you really can't see, you know, behind that big group of men up front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you put Sproles in there, all right, bam, 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 slice and dice, and then there you go. I think that, you know, everybody's like, well, why are we going to see, why so much Sproles right now? Every week is going to be something different.
Yeah, just like DeSean said, when he put his arm around Nelson Agholor and said, hey, look, I got mine today, Bob, as you were getting into yesterday. I got mine today, Nelson, but guess what? Next week, you might get yours. But here's the thing that is interesting. I feel like Doug, and I mentioned this yesterday, I didn't get into it enough. I feel like Doug looks at Darren Sproles and says, I know what I got. Of all the guys here, I know what I got. And what I got in Darren Sproles is a good mismatch for what they present as a Redskins defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good mismatch. That's what he said after the game. That's what he said again yesterday. And I also feel like in the early goings of a season, when you just kind of want to establish a rhythm and get things going and make sure you get out of the gate strong, you're going to go with what you trust. And Darren Sproles, and this is what I said yesterday, old reliable. You know what you're going to get. He's gonna make a couple of guys miss. He's going to get you a couple of yards. Not by dragging guys by any means. By making that first guy miss and then being able to get those few extra yards after the first guy that should have brought him down. Also, he's a guy who can catch out of the backfield. You can trust him. Old reliable. Darren Sproles. And he did that again on Sunday. And he did the same thing last year against the Falcons when they opened up the season against the Falcons on Thursday night.
And I think one of the areas where old reliable, as you said, Mark, that we didn't mention, it might be one of the biggest, and that's protecting Carson Wentz.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. He is really crazy. Now, Miles Sanders showed some good things. He missed a couple, but he showed some good things. But Darren Sproles never misses. And if he does, it's very, very rare.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the old reliable things that we failed to look at when we're saying, oh, why is Darren Sproles getting 12 touches? Why is he still in there? Well, a lot of it probably has to do with the health of the quarterback.
Yeah, probably. And the guy is certainly your savvy veteran, not just, as I was saying, making those guys miss and being able to get to that next level, but he's also the guy that knows how to lurk in that backfield in case anyone does come through. I didn't feel like the Redskins were overly aggressive by the eye test, but whenever they did send somebody, there was a wall right there waiting for him.
Yeah.
Whether that was two guys waiting to take on one or whether that was just one guy going one-on-one with another. They were ready for any blitz or any pressure that they were throwing in Carson's face.
Yeah, I think that just as a unit, everybody did a good job. Because now today is when they released the all 22.
Oh, yeah.
So now I got to go watch the game again.
I will not text you or call you later today.
It's probably going to be my fourth or fifth time. It's going to be probably my fifth or sixth time watching the game again. So, because I just love watching this game. But, because now I get to get coaches film and I can rewind in slow motion and really get that bird's eye
you draw on
of
it
the way I want to see the game.
We got to all do that together one time.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I
promise you it'll be the quietest you'll ever see me. Because I really enjoy watching people at their craft.
Mm-hmm.
And Trey, that is your wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, wheelhouse. I mean, that's your expertise.
Yeah.
For your wheelhouse. Wheelhouse is like American Revolutionary History with me. Okay? All right? Then you would obviously be, throwing bodies around and how to do that.
Oh, yeah, man. Because that's what I want to see to go back in there. Because a lot of people, because everybody was like, well, what happened? Their offensive line must have did a good job, too. Because they shut down our pass rush, which they did. And I really want to go back in there and watch what was going on as far as our pass rush against Washington. I think one thing is Keenum did a really good job of working the pocket and getting rid of the ball. But just off of going what I've seen just off the TV copy, they did a really good job of jumping our interior guys. When you have defensive tackles, when they line up with their inside foot back, so let's say if Fletcher Cox is lining up over the right guard, then that means that his right foot is going to be back, which is going to be his inside foot. He has to take that first step upfield. So guards knowing that are going to jump him, which gets in his face right away. It doesn't give him time to build up momentum to create that movement that he wants to get. So a lot of guys were jumping them. Even on the other side, they were jumping because they didn't want our interior linemen, because they know that they're such great pass rushers, but because they have their inside foots back, they're going to always jump them to try to keep them from getting their momentum going.
Yeah, all right, so we're going to break that down as the show goes on today, and we're going to be talking about this game, wrap up the conversation regarding Eagles-Skins in Week 1. We're going to look forward, obviously starting tomorrow, to look to take on the Falcons down in Atlanta, which if you're making the trip, incredible stadium. Just right out of the gate, I'll tell you that. Incredible stadium. We'll get into that. We got some Phillies conversation coming up a little bit later in the show, coming up with Jason Stark at 8 o'clock. We're also going to replay our Donovan McNabb interview coming up at 6:30 in the middle of this hour. In case you missed it yesterday, you can hear from Donovan McNabb coming up in a little bit in this hour. And then I also have this question, because this has kind of come up. I don't know how else to put it. This whole Mike Scott thing. Let's make no bones about it. Both people are in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I talked to a couple of people yesterday. One was there earlier in the day, and one was there for the fight. Now, the first person gave me a little background on the group of tailgaters that got into it with Mike Scott, or Mike Scott got into it with them, depending on which way you want to look at it. The person that I talked to that was there for the fight basically said, I asked the question point blank, was there a situation where Mike Scott could have gotten out of there? And he goes, from the way I saw it, no. Hmm. Now, I will say this. I wasn't there. I just will say that I find that a little hard to believe. Okay. I think we have all been in those situations where you know things are about to get real.
Oh, yeah.
There's a buzz in the air. There's almost a smell where you just go,
where there's a hint.
This isn't, I walked into the wrong party.
Yeah.
All right? This is not where I parked my car. All right.
I smell trouble.
And the second you get a whiff of that, yeah. If you're Mike Scott, the guy that has everything to lose, you got to go, all right, wrong party. See you guys later. Hey, good luck to you today. And yeah. You're out. Now, I will say this. If you are of the school that forget it, there is no way you can get out of that. Here's your biggest piece of evidence. The latest video that came out that was on TMZ yesterday shows a guy literally lurking in the background. And I don't know how old this guy is. He's maybe, I would say, early 20s. Lurking in the background.
It's not the guy in the priest garb, is it?
No. Who is, by the way, is not a priest. Two big things that have come out of this. Like, that guy wasn't a priest. He was interviewed by NBC 10 earlier in the day talking about the casket.
He was there because of the casket thing.
Right. And also, not a Sean Taylor jersey.
No.
I don't know how that...
NFL people, Humor, some Twitter account that has like 50,000 followers, tweeted it out. And then NFL players started responding to it because a lot of guys follow that account.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the reputation continues to grow.
Did Sean Taylor wear the year...
1991?
The number 1,992, 91, excuse me?
Yes, because it was their last Super Bowl.
No, I understand that,
yeah.
But I don't think you can wear a quadruple-digit number.
To my knowledge, no, that was not Sean Taylor's number.
Thank you very much. Sources confirmed. But the person I spoke to yesterday basically said... Well, excuse me. The younger gentleman that was lurking in the background of this video... You could tell that he just had this look on his face like he was going to do something, even though he was maybe three people removed from the actual scuffle, right?
Yeah.
From the actual fight. And do you know what I'm talking about, Bob?
He's got his fist cocked. Like he wants to approach the pile.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of ends there with his, yeah.
Well, no, he goes up.
The original one that, yeah.
Okay. The one that came out on TMZ, Trey, I don't know if you saw this either, but there's a kid, a younger guy walking around and kind of lurking in the background, and he comes around, and you could see his fist is cocked, like behind, like he's got it like behind his back almost. And he walks up to someone who I assume to be Mike Scott's security guard, because he did have a security guard there. I think Kyle Newbeck on Philly Voice even pointed out that the Sixers, it is mandatory to have, if you're going into a public setting like that, you have to have somebody from the team.
Right.
So there is somebody there trying to separate him from the fight. As that's happening, this kid rolls into the fight and looks like he doesn't punch, but like gets the security guy in the head with his forearm, trying to punch him. So here's the reason I bring that up. If you expect Mike Scott just to walk out of that, somebody was waiting to punch that guy.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, as Mike Scott knows, we've joked about this, he ain't no bitch, as they say, right? As he likes to say.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to back down.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right or wrong? I don't think it's right, but that's how he is. He's in the middle of a situation where he feels threatened.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people have been in a fight or flight situation before, and unfortunately, it's not the most rational thinking in the world, because when you feel threatened, you got to sometimes fight.
Yeah, especially if you're surrounded.
Yeah.
Now, when I did talk to this person last night who was there for the whole thing, it turns out, you know, it's a small world.
Right?
And growing up here, you tend to know some people that are Eagles fans.
As the great Eileen Lynch says, Philadelphia is the biggest small city in the world.
And that couldn't be more true.
Yeah.
So I knew somebody that was actually at a nearby tailgate and was kind of just walking back and forth from a couple of different tailgates. And either right place, wrong time, or wrong place, wrong time. They were there for the whole incident, from the pushing and shoving in the tent to what is spilled out into the driveway area, if you will, in the entrance of the Wells Fargo Center. So we'll give you some new details on that, including how everything ended with Mike Scott. We'll get into that. I know that we talked about yesterday some selfies were posted by people that took pictures with Mike Scott after the incident happened.
Yeah.
We also have audio. I was sent audio, and the reason I'm not releasing the video itself is because it would be too obvious to the tailgaters who shot the video.
Okay.
They would put. Yeah. I don't know these tailgaters. I don't want to put anybody in danger, and they might be able to identify the person based on somebody that was standing across the way holding the video or holding the phone, because at that point, there was nothing going on with Mike Scott. it was about 5-10 minutes before Mike Scott rolled by.
Right.
But I will say our suspicions yesterday, at least mine, were almost confirmed. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were confirmed.
Yeah.
Mike Scott walked into a situation he thought was going to be fun. It was going to be, breaking stones with people, right? And sooner or later, he got the hint, wrong party. At that moment, if you're Mike Scott, you got to walk out. But from what this person told me that was there, that wasn't an option for him. Mm-hmm. And watching the video with a guy coming up sucker punching a security guard, yeah, okay, I could understand why the threat would just be above, yeah, I can't just walk away from this. Something's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So I can't let my guard down. We'll let you hear that audio coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll also let you hear from Donovan McNabb at 6:30 today as he broke down Eagles, Skins. We have Doug Peterson in the locker room. Trey, you don't have to answer me now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Doug Peterson, the motivational speaker? Just when the wheels go in that, do you think about it at all? Do you watch the videos? Do you see him in the locker room? Do you see him trying to get people going?
I catch him every now and then. It's not like my thing to do.
Mark, did you not hear me? I break down film.
I don't seek it out.
Yeah. While you're watching, Doug Peterson in the locker room, clap his hands at what he says. I'm breaking down film.
I'm the opposite of Trey. I seek it out every week.
Yeah, I don't.
I think they only release it after victories, though.
Yeah. I mean, this is.
I want to see one after a loss where he's like, I had no idea they would do that. I was totally lost.
I'm not big on all the locker room stuff being pushed out.
So when Andy was talking after a big winner, you were just kind of sitting there taking off the tape and the pads and all that, like not listening much?
I would listen, but,
it's fine. Like, to each their own, right?
He was putting down the tape around his locker so that reporters knew, hey, don't cross the line.
No, that's
do
not true.
Enter.
I was okay. It was just, when we were at NovaCare.
The NovaCare is where the tape exists.
Yeah.
Post-game.
Post-game is good.
Yeah, post-game, I was all right.
Copy that.
Depending on the game.
Yeah, copy that. Also, like I said, we got Jason Stark at 8 o'clock. We're going to talk to Tom Moore at 9 o'clock today. 610-632-0975. But my question today, revolving everything around Mike Scott and revolving everything around tailgating and do we have a code of conduct, if anything? When you go to a tailgate, what do you expect from a fan base? Like, I think there's this blurred line of what's okay. I want to get into that in a second.
Yeah, there is.
It's a ridiculously blurred line, and I feel like people are making excuses because a lot of fans have been told that this conduct, and you'll hear the audio, is, hey, you're a great fan. Way to go.
The 700 level doesn't exist anymore.
And I got, family that was in that 700 level quite a bit, season tickets and all that stuff. Yeah, that's not like, oh yeah, we're proud of that.
Yeah,
like,
no, I'm not.
Like, your passion, your
passion's great.
Your willingness to break stones with another team's fan, yeah, good for you. Physical violence, yeah, not the best thing in the world. 610-632-0975, time at the Fanatic 613.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Morning, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Coming up in a minute here, we're going to get into that Doug Peterson conversation. And also coming up in about 6 minutes, we'll let you hear about what Donovan McNabb had to tell us yesterday. Play his full interview for you coming up at 6:30. But a question I do want to explore throughout the show. As tailgating fans, people that are down there, people having themselves a good time, what's the expectation when you go down there? Like, what is the code of conduct you would like to see? Is a stamp of approval being able to curse out anybody you see? Is a stamp of approval getting as drunk as humanly possible? Or does any amount of decency go through your brain where you go down there and you're like, no, yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. And I hope that's the way people do approach it without anything that could be, I consider to be over the line. Fighting, I'll consider to be over the line.
Yeah.
Trash talk all you want. I do find it interesting, and you'll hear this audio that we have for you. We'll play at 7 o'clock. You tell me if it's over the line. And that's what I want to know. If you think what we will hear. Now, the audio we have is about, like I said, 5 to 10 minutes before Mike Scott walked to the tailgate. It's the same tailgaters. It was taken by somebody I know that was down there and at a tailgate nearby. And they happened to be walking by when this guy started doing his trash talk, if you will. Tell me if it's over the line. That's the only question I'll ask, if it's over the line. I don't get an opportunity to tailgate, all right? So I'm not going to tell you how to act, all right? I do have a little bit of a different perspective, being that I traveled around almost to every NFL stadium, and I've been to the tailgates walking around and see how other people do it. I will tell you right now, we're not all that different. We do probably form the biggest line to get in to our tailgates more so than anybody else. But look, a lot of NFL fans are a lot alike. It's basically a group of people getting together, having some drinks, and sometimes things get out of hand. All right? So I just want to ask the question if you think it's over the line. We'll get that in a second. But Sam Wilson standing by with our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. What do you have for us today, Sam?
This morning we asked, if you were a big fan of Mike Scott before, has this changed your opinion at all? We have just under 300 votes so far. 87% say no, it hasn't. Staying loyal to Mike Scott.
How much? What's the
87% say no?
87% say this hasn't changed.
I would have voted for I like him more.
Should we make that an option? But here's the thing. I like Mike Scott, and I still like Mike Scott. I do think he should have handled this situation better.
He didn't handle it perfectly.
Even after talking to somebody that was there, I understand that your back's against the wall and you feel threat. I think we've all been in those situations. And I'm not just saying, oh, we're men, we're guys. We've been in fights. We've been in situations that a fight was about to break out. I get it. I'm not trying to puff our chest out here and sound manly, but we've all been in those situations where it's like things are about to get real. And it's either you stay or you go. If I'm Mike Scott and I get a whiff of anything bad, it's not being cowardice. It's I have everything to lose. Do I really want to be in a video? Because you know that's going to happen, and that's exactly what happened, where I'm throwing fists with somebody around me.
Yeah, you would think the thought process was in Mike Scott's head before he went down there that, okay, somebody might try to start something. If I do get a whiff of that, I got to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Totally naive to go down there and say everybody's going to accept me. And you know what? That's totally naive for anybody that goes down and tailgates. You know, I could go down there and somebody, could make fun of us doing this show or whatever. You know, somebody, you go with a friend, they might not like something. You have to go in with an anticipation of, there is a potential for trouble. It sucks, but it's reality. And how do you avoid it? How do you steer clear of it? But Mike Scott and the video and the audio that you're going to play later, Mark, he was enticed by those guys, and there's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And it's if there's a side to take, it's no doubt whose side you're going to take. And the 87% of the people are speaking right now.
There you go. 610-632-0975. All right. Do we have the Doug Peterson post game, not pep talk, but I don't know, victory speech? I guess we could. Trey?
Yeah.
Victory speech, I guess it would be.
It's like a little victory wrap up.
The Eagles do this after every victory, and I do love it. Anytime you can see that access where there's no other reporter in there and you can just see the coach relating to his team. First off, I didn't know this. Apparently, it was Jeffrey Lurie's birthday yesterday or Sunday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he had John Middleton in his box.
Oh, they buddies.
Yeah.
Jay buddies. Middles up in there?
Yeah, Jay Middles.
Jay Middles.
Just
rocking.
Just exactly. Hanging out?
Yeah.
Just doing billionaire stuff?
Jay Middles. That's
what's Jay up. Middles.
Hey, can you count this wad of cash? Yes, can you count my wad of cash? Okay, cool. How big's your jet? It's pretty bad. How big's your... Anyway, I like both those guys. But did you get Jeffrey Lurie anything for his birthday? Maybe like a box of cookies to replace the one? A new Baggo set. Maybe some New Balances?
New sets. Yeah, exactly. Some Air Max dads.
Yeah, get some Velcro shoes or something. I don't know.
Pair of Wranglers.
He might not be far away from the Velcro shoes.
Yeah. Here is now, Trey, you're the man. You're the man that's been in the locker room in this capacity. Uh-huh. I want you to evaluate Doug Peterson, the post-game pep talk.
Nice way to start the season, guys. We talked about just being 1-0 this week. That's all we want is 1-0. You got it done. Resilient group. You hung together. That's what I'm talking about right there. You're 1-0. Great job. Congratulations, man. Just a precursor to next week. Now we got to go on the road. Just to put this in your mind right now. If we're going to win multiple games, you got to do it on the road as well. Not only take care of business here, but you got to go on the road and do it too. Okay, so that's our focus this next week as we prepare for the next one. Hey, congratulations, man. My hat's off to you. Way to work. Love it. 1-0. We move to the next one.
All right, that was Doug in the locker room afterwards. As a player, evaluate, please, that performance.
It was cool. I mean, what?
No, I'm not expecting. Yeah. I'm not expecting you to be. I'm not taking the angle of, oh, Doug, you just won a game like that. Be more amped up. I'm just curious to get a player's, because as a fan, I watch that and I go, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, because cool. That was a big win, but it's also too, it's one of many. So you don't want everybody all fired up because it wasn't the best game. It's not like you just came out there and ran through Washington.
Mm-hmm.
This was a game that everybody going into it was like, oh, this is, we're just going to walk over Washington. All we have to do is just show up. You know, and then next thing you know, it's 17-0. Yeah, whoa. Wait a minute, we're in a dogfight. You know what I'm saying? So then now things change. So, you know, yeah, all right, we came out there, we did what we're supposed to do. Let's get ready for next week because this right here was a punch in the mouth.
Exactly. Your reaction to his comments, Mark, is exactly the reaction we should all have to that win. Oh, that's cool. Because it is, the more you watch it and the more you look at it, it's more concern. It's a little bit more concerning than, yeah, what a great offensive comeback that was.
Right.
I said to you guys yesterday, it concerned me. That secondary, that defense, it concerned me on Sunday. And as much as we want to say, yeah, but the second half they were there, nah. Washington shot themselves in the foot more than the Eagles were there.
Yeah.
Before we get to the McNabb interview, for a coach, is it wise to play it the way he played? Like after a
Absolutely.
Win.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and yeah. I would say yes, but again, from a player's perspective, I'm thinking, yeah, if I just won a game, I don't want my coach coming out and be like, hey, you know, you guys sucked in the first half, right? Let's go back and think about that.
I would much rather you keep it real with me than to sit up there and blow smoke.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, this was so awesome. No, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was not an awesome showing at first. I mean, you know, he just got roasted.
He acknowledged the fight,
yeah.
Which I liked.
Yeah, now, which I appreciate. When you have a group of guys that say, all right, dang, we just got down like this, but then you go back in the locker room, you gather up, you rally the troops, and then you come back out there and you battle the way they battled. Yes, but we cannot start games like this because when you go up against better teams, the odds of trying to, you know, being able to pull something like this off are very slim.
All right. Now,
there's a better team on Sunday, Trey.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, the first half, as some fans told me after the game, it was preseason. That was the warm-up lap. And
that's what I've told myself.
There we go. Now, it's week one and a half of the NFL season for the Birds. We did talk to Donovan McNabb yesterday. Trey, your old teammate, he joined us as he does every week during football season. We'll replay that interview right now here on 97.5 The Fanatic with Donovan McNabb.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, fantastic, man.
We're feeling pretty good. Hey, Donovan, you started it with Deshaun all those years ago. Now he's caught touchdown passes from five different Eagles quarterbacks. Watching him yesterday, has the rookie used to throw touchdowns too? Has he lost a step at all?
No, he hasn't lost a step at all. And he brings some different pizzazz to this offense, in which, you know, I think Aguilar was able to do that a couple years ago. Now you present two speed guys at your wide receiver position, and then that opens up more for guys like Zach Ertz, also Jeffries Moore on the outside, and then you can use some of your running backs as well, the checkdowns, because linebackers and safeties have to really play deep in order to try to stop the big-time play.
I know we had talked about last week playing in the preseason. You can't go into the regular season rusty. Eagles are able to bounce back after a slow start. Why do you think they had a slow start to their offense and defense, really, because tackling struggled as well?
Well, again, I think we lose track of the importance of what preseason is all about. It's an opportunity for you to compete against other teams, also to work on some different plays in which you've tried to install into that preseason. You know, get back to the basics when things aren't going as crisp as you want them to. And also for the defense, work on your blitzes and work on tackling. You know, when you're in training camp and playing against some of the same guys, you know some of their same moves and you're working on positioning and things of that nature. It's a difference when you get into game situation. The preseason may not be more like regular season or playoffs, but at least it's a lead into what you'll be faced with, at least for the first half of the season. And you'll see a lot of teams in the next couple of weeks, you know, start to struggle early on. And we've seen that all across the league yesterday of teams coming out and looking lackluster. Seems like they had no energy. They couldn't run the football or the passing game just wasn't as crisp. But, you know, as the season continues on, it will get better. But they need to really think about not eliminating this preseason because it's important for a lot of football teams.
Speaking with Donovan McNabb, of course, and Donovan, Carson, after that slow start, jumped out about 4:20 left in the second quarter, hit Deshaun Jackson for the first 50-plus touchdown of the game for him. Then on third down was 11 for 12, 197 yards, three touchdowns, near perfect on third down for Carson. What were your takeaways watching him yesterday?
Well, I think offensively what Doug did at the beginning of the second half really opened up the offense. And it may not be a statement for a lot of the fans because they may not know, but when you come out and establish the run game, and what we've seen from Sanders, what we've seen from Howard, and I'll bring Howard up because people look at Howard with the Chicago Bears, and he wasn't the power guy that you would think that would be presented into this offense. You know, you had Cohen that was able to be kind of more like the Darren Sproles for the Chicago Bears, but he came in and established a hard-nosed A-gap, B-gap running game that now all of a sudden the Washington Redskins D-line had to really be stout to close up the running lanes. And what that did was that opened up now the passing attack downfield with the play-action game. And Washington just looked totally confused. So kudos to Doug Peterson for establishing that run game to start the second half to really open up the offense.
Did you ever like when it was, because, you know, for us, you call it and then I just go. You know what I'm saying? So when it came to like how you like to start off the plays, did you ever like starting off with the first play being a pass? Like an empty backfield?
No. Because I thought in our offense, when they seen Westbrook in the backfield, it was a two-headed way. You didn't know if it was going to be a screen. You didn't know if it was going to be a run play. You didn't know if it was play action. You didn't know if we were going to turn around and hand the ball off to him. But when you go empty backfield, all of a sudden, all they know is it's going to be a pass. They don't look for no QB draw or nothing of that nature, but they're looking for pass. So I thought they came out and became one-dimensional in the beginning of the game. But when they brought Sanders in the backfield and had Darren Sproles in the backfield, they brought motion with DeSean Jackson. Now all of a sudden, as a defensive coordinator, you got a lot of things going through your head. You're hoping your linebackers are reading their keys, their safeties are reading their keys, D-line, stay in your rush lanes. Those are things you focus on. But when you go empty, it kind of eliminates a lot of different things that you can do.
Mm-hmm. Donovan, they like to go with the running back by committee, obviously, with Sproles and Sanders and Howard. And you were a part of that when you were here also, and then you became one back dominant when it was just Westbrook. Is there any advantage to a quarterback to either having the committee or having just the solo running back?
No. I mean, because that's kind of the way it is across the league. You want to kind of spare your running back so that you can have them at the end part of the season. And I think for the Philadelphia Eagles, I would have thought Howard would have been your starting running back because of his experience and be able to run the football. Now, Sanders brings something different where he's more like a Westbrook or a LeSean McCoy because he's able to run the football and catch the ball out of the backfield. So utilizing Sanders in certain situations right now because he's young. He's a rookie. Yeah, he may show you flashes and things of that nature that you would get kind of overwhelmed with. But you also got to be smart about with the way you use him. Because then also you got to bring in Darren Sproles, who's kind of your electrifying guy in the backfield. And so now you're throwing three running backs in, and it can kind of kill the flow a little bit, depending on what you're doing. But I think for what this offense is trying to present, they're trying to present explosion downfield. And then maybe open up some more running lanes for the guys.
Speaking with Donovan McNabb, we talked about the game plan and to focus it a little bit more on just the quarterback play. I know a lot of people were looking at Carson, knock that rust off, and then hopefully for the rest of the season get back to the way we saw him playing before. How would you evaluate just Carson yesterday, Donovan?
Carson Wentz?
Yes.
Oh, 100. Jeff Carson. I'm like, Jeff Carson. I thought he played sound football. Now, I know Doug is trying to have him understand that eliminate your so many rushes and just utilize your check downs and your tight ends. And that's the way that you learn how to play the game. But as a quarterback who, you know, has the ability to get out of the pocket and use your legs, it's hard to limit a guy like that. I mean, that's the way he plays. Now, as he gets older and he'll understand the game a little bit more where you can dumb it down to guys that are catch the ball and get upfield, and that's really the relationship that he will build with that one running back. See, I had that relationship with LeSean McCoy, and I had it with Westbrook. You know, I also had it with Karell Buckholder because he became more of a, you know, running back in our passing attack, but Westbrook was our guy. That's something he's going to have to build with one of the running backs. Will it be Sanders? Or will it be, you know, Darren Sproles? But Darren Sproles is kind of in and out. So if Sanders is going to be your guy, he's going to build that relationship where he knows when he moves, he's going to be able to check it down to Sanders because he's going to be able to break free.
Donovan, what does it take for a quarterback to put injuries way in the rearview mirror? What does it take for a guy? Because you've come back from injuries. Carson's trying to do that now. Carson Wentz. What does it take to put those way in the rearview mirror?
It's hard from a mental standpoint because for me it was tough because I got hurt around the same part of the season, you know, than those years. It was pretty much around my birthday, Thanksgiving, is when I suffered majority of my injuries. And that was the mental part I had to get over of that particular week of that game. And so for him, he's got to get over, you know, the timing of when his injuries actually happen. And he's got to get games under his belt. Once he gets games under his belt like he played against Washington, he'll begin to lose track of the injuries and focus in on what exactly they're doing. And if we see this team continue to improve from what we've seen in the second half of week one, from what I said before, I thought this team would be representing the NFC going into the Super Bowl. I really believe that that could happen.
Now, with this whole AB thing, man.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, what do you think that's going to do for the Patriots right now?
Oh, they're going to cut all that out. Mm-hmm. See, this is the thing. It's one in which, and we've been a part of certain situations, stuff like this, right? You know that. But it wasn't as bad because of social media. Social media now has put these young men into a frame where they're thinking they need to build a brand to become global stars and not only football stars, but just superstars in general across the world.
That is Donovan McNabb as he joined us yesterday. There's something interesting that came out of the interview. It's something we're going to explore the next time we talk to Donovan because I tried going back to it a couple times, and that was whether or not he wanted to get into anything really specific with Carson Wentz. Coming up, we'll continue to visit the conversation about fan conduct, what we expect when we go to a tailgate in light of the Mike Scott situation. We got Mike and Del Ram. We got open lines after that, 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic, 643.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour brought to you by Panther East and Black Cat Fasteners, the area's number one resource for all your tools, supplies, equipment, and fall protection gear. With delivery right to your job site, call or shop online at PantherEast.com. Code of conduct. Our boy Dustin just tweeted us the fan code of conduct from the Eagles that they give out.
Yeah.
I think that's been around a while.
It has. They've handed them out in the lots before.
Yeah, I remember seeing those. The other thing that people I think are confusing is the rule last night in the Saints game. I saw some Twitter things going on about it, about a player giving himself up.
I don't get that rule.
It's dumb.
It's really dumb, right?
It is. Let me tell you, you shouldn't get that rule because you like football.
Yeah, like what? I get the slide giving yourself up, but just falling down, that's not giving yourself up.
We'll get into that a little bit later today. And then coming up at 7 o'clock, we'll let you hear the exclusive audio we have. It's about 10, 15 seconds of some of the trash talk that the tailgaters were doing right before the Mike Scott incident took place. It's the same tailgate that got into the scuffle with Mike Scott of the 76ers. We have some exclusive audio, and I just want to ask, over the line or not? Now, I will tell you this. If you have a kid in the car, if you're on the way to school, whatever it might be, I'll consider this not safe for work. Let's put it that way. I've blipped it out, but you get the idea. All right? Mike and Del Ran, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thanks for holding, Mike.
I wish number 5 would walk through an Eagles tailgate with a Redskins jersey on.
Oh, man.
Mike, you are just Mike, come on.
Guys, listen to me. I'm sitting here getting ready to talk about how there's a line you shouldn't cross. And then all I can think about is how I'd want to mollywop him with a frozen beer can.
Wow. Well, that is over the line.
Mark, you said it. You know what? And you're absolutely right. And that's what really set me off. I heard you ask a question about Carson Wentz on third down. He didn't even mention his name. He talked about Dougie P and the running back.
Yeah.
And then you asked him again. And he went, oh, I thought you said Jeff Wentz. Went too. and he went on to talk again more about what Doug's going to do and what he shouldn't do. He's a jealous. Oh, my God. Listen, nobody in this area will ever disagree that Carson or that Donovan Knapp was the best quarterback we ever had. Mm. I get it. But the guy can't give this kid a lick of credit at all. He's played 2 months of football in 20 months total between the last two seasons. The kid came out and had a great second half, and he won't even acknowledge it. Listen, guys, I'm at everything you do. I'm at every event. I call all the time. I try to involve myself as much as possible. Then from 9:30 on Mondays, I got to cut it off. whoever's bright idea it was to bring Donovan McNabb on the station, you need to look yourself in the mirror and realize that we're pissed off about it.
Wow. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Now, here's the thing.
I've been missing the Go Birds, though.
Oh, yeah, the Go Birds is phenomenal.
An angry Go Birds at the end. It's really the icing on the cake.
Now, here's the thing. People tried twisting what the people I was calling idiots last week that were tweeting me that he was bad for radio. He hasn't been bad for radio. I'll just say that. But you cannot like Donovan McNabb. I'm not saying you're an idiot if you don't like Donovan McNabb.
Sure.
What I'm saying is, if you think he's bad radio, I'd check again. Like, because he's good for the radio station. He's good for us. Now, look, you cannot like Donovan McNabb as a player. I grew up here. I suffered with you through all the losses. Trey, no offense. And it really bothered me to watch him, especially the last 5 minutes of that Super Bowl. I'm with you. You're entitled to every ounce of that because you're a fan of this team. But when it comes to a radio interview, you're telling me I could have a five-time Pro Bowler? You're telling me I could have a guy that's maybe a Hall of Famer and a guy that played in this city for as long as he did and is an all-time passing leader and all-time wins leader and playoff leader? Yeah, I'm going to have him on the show. Like, that's what I'll say about that, Trey Duffin. That's what I'll say about that.
Yeah. What do you want me to say?
When you get a reaction like Mike's, that's gold.
I'm going to talk to five, though. I'm going to talk to five.
So, okay. Right. And I mentioned this before the break.
Yeah.
I think most people's reaction is exactly what my reaction would be.
Uh-huh.
When he doesn't want to talk about Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to give him credit. You asked him point blank three different times about Carson, and he wanted to talk about Doug Peterson in the running game. Yeah, I noticed. That's why I tried pushing the issue. But I don't want to default to what I would in the past, which is, oh, he just hates Carson Wentz, right? Because I don't think he hates Carson Wentz.
No.
I don't think there's a major jealousy factor with Carson Wentz. There may be. We'll explore. But here's the thing. This is also a guy, when we talked to him back in, what, April or May? This is a franchise leader, right? For quarterback leader, all that stuff, right? Passing leader. He was afraid. I shouldn't say afraid. He didn't want to go, chose not to go to the NFC Championship game to get on the field here after they beat the Vikings the year they won the Super Bowl. He was in Minnesota for the Super Bowl, chose not to be a part of anything because he didn't want to make it about. He's, for people that accuse him of being self-aware, and I'm one of those people, or not being self-aware, he was self-aware in that situation. Because what would have been the reaction if Donovan McNabb was in the locker room after the game and even, like, looked at the Lombardi trophy? Oh, what Donovan couldn't get. Oh, look, Donovan, you couldn't get this. Maybe if you would have hustled in the Super Bowl, maybe you didn't throw up. It would have been about him. And he was self-aware enough to realize.
And it wasn't a throw up, it was a gag.
Okay, I'm just. A dry heave, even?
Maybe.
But, I mean, am I, is he wrong? Yeah. That's the, when we talked to him back in April or May, that was the most self-aware I've ever heard him. So the reason I'm saying that and bringing it up now is, will he not get into the Carson Wentz situation? Because does he feel like whatever he says about Carson will be taken in the most negative light?
Could be.
Because the way that we're talking to him right now, we'll talk to him again next week and we'll get into it a little bit more. Like I'm asking you point blank about Carson Wentz. We know the running game was good. To say that a guy that put up the numbers that he did, over 300 yards, three touchdowns, almost four touchdown passes, perfect on third down, to say that he played sound football in a lot of people's minds sounds like a dig.
Yeah.
I think it's a dig. I mean, you know, you go back and you look at it, it was sound football.
Sure.
I mean, it's, you know, and that's the thing, too, if I think that he's extremely guarded with it just because he knows that whatever he says, everybody's going to look at it, oh, it's going to create.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. What was it, a couple months ago, he said if Carson Wentz isn't able to stay healthy and lead them to the playoffs over the next 2 years, they have to think about drafting somebody?
Yes.
He's absolutely right. Yeah, but everybody took that statement and was like, oh, Donovan hates it. And it's like, well, not really. What he said is accurate.
If I
97.5 The Fanatic.